This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The global debt problem, the local debt problem.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The euro currency is near a two-year low against the dollar this morning after yet another summit of European leaders failed to give the markets any confidence that they've got a way to solve the debt crisis. In Washington, an end-of-year fight over raising the federal debt ceiling is looking more likely because of partisan differences over spending and taxes. And here in the state of California, a similar debate is playing out thanks to a $16 billion budget deficit. The question is, how will the state find a fair mix of cuts and taxes to close the gap?
The American dream.
Millionaires, billionaires.
Class warfare.
Paycheck to paycheck.
We pay our fair share.
As part of our coverage of wealth and poverty issues, California Governor Jerry Brown joins us now from Sacramento. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you've got a $16 billion budget hole right now. Your ability to raise taxes is limited because of voter-approved propositions in part. Your ability to cut spending is limited because of lawsuits. What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to cut and we're going to hopefully tax. The tax will be subject to voter approval this November. In terms of the cuts, I proposed some pretty drastic cuts in social services, Medi-Cal, which nationally is Medicaid, to the courts, a lot of very drastic cuts. So we have both a tax and a cut. It's very difficult to get a tax passed when you go to the electorate, but this is the kind of decision in a democracy I think the people are most well-equipped to ultimately make.
So you're not worried that if you raise taxes on the wealthy even further here in California that you're going to lose some of the innovators and entrepreneurs that are so many of them in this state?
Well, you know, if you look at the data, as you go up the income scale, the wealthier you are, the faster you're growing in the wealth that you're accumulating. And if you go to the people lower down the scale, making $40,000 or $30,000 or $50,000, some of them actually are losing ground. So it's only fair. This is the only tax that has any chance of passing. Were I not to do it, then we'd have to double the amount of cuts. I mean, the fact is, we're a wealthy state, and the public sector needs an amount more than it's now getting.
Now, let me ask you this, because you're going to ask the public to approve this tax increase.
Yes.
I have to say, when I talk to friends around the country, they look at the system in California and they say, why don't they just throw out this constitution that requires voters to approve everything that they do? They can't do anything with all this.
Well, that's an interesting turn of phrase. Why don't we just throw out this constitution? They've done that in a number of countries. It's called the coup d'etat. Look, this is a democracy. You can find fault with it. But compared to the paralysis in Washington, at least we have an ultimate arbiter, which are the people themselves. You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. We only have so much money, and they've been kicking the can down the road, gimmicks, accounting maneuvers. And at this stage of my life, I'm coming back after a 27-year hiatus here, and I'm going to make this budget balance, and I'd rather do it with taxes. If we don't have that, we'll do it the old-fashioned way with some pretty drastic cuts.
Let me ask you one last thing, Governor. When you want to get away from all this stuff up there in Sacramento, where do you go? What's your happy place in California?
Well, I live in Oakland. I find that extremely happy, if you want to call it that. It's a great place. We've got great parks and trails. I can see out into the Pacific 50 miles on a clear day. And I like to read about the decline of the Roman Empire. And then I like to read about all the successes that people were able, in the face of challenge, to overcome against terrific odds. And I think that through facing things with clarity and courage, we can get the job done, and maybe we can inspire some of the same spirit of resolve, both for Washington and maybe even in Europe.
California Governor Jerry Brown, thank you so much.
Okay.
And the governor will talk with Kai Ryssdal later today on Marketplace about how issues of income inequality got to be so political. Now let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in London right now, 0.3% higher in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow closed down just 6 points at 12,496.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Officials in Houston are trying to figure out what to do with the Astrodome, renovate it, or tear it down. The Dome Stadium was once called the eighth wonder of the world, but it hasn't hosted a sporting event or concert in years. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
As the baseball season gets underway, the spanking new Astrodome is the new $31 million home of the Houston Astros.
That was 1965. Today, it would cost $64 million just to tear it down. A consultant's report urges more than $250 million in local taxpayer spending to renovate the Astrodome, host trade shows and science exhibits. That could harken back to the early days.
A space-age sort of atmosphere at the ballpark. The ball girls dressed as astronauts.
Kevin Reichardt of BallparkDigest.com says other space-age domes soon followed. New Orleans, Tampa, Minneapolis. Nowadays, though, team owners want retractable roofs.
Baseball is a game where it's played in the prime of summer and people expect to have the sunshine on them and the grass growing and the smell of popcorn.
Seattle's King Dome couldn't offer that and fell to the wrecking ball. Reichardt thinks Detroit's Silver Dome could face the same fate. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally to Trader Joe's, where there's been a run on chocolate chips. Apparently the company that makes a popular brand of kosher chocolate chips changed the way it cleans its equipment and now can no longer say the chips are dairy-free. As a result, Jews who keep kosher and love cookies raced to Trader Joe's to stock up on the old packages. The New York Post headline for this story, Chips Ahoy Vey. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.